This morning, Pastor Ajith is going to be speaking about the Good Samaritan. So I'm going to read that passage of Scripture, and then he's going to come and share with us about it. This is from Luke chapter 10. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. Sarah and I are so excited to be here, and greetings from the Christ Church Christian Care Center. Pastor Jim has given me 40 minutes to speak. I'm not sure if they are 40 American minutes or 40 African minutes, but we'll give it a go. The Lord has been good to us, and we are so grateful to that. You have supported us for many, many years. Pastor Jim has brought several teams to the care center, and so this church has been really, really involved in praying for our work, in supporting us financially, and also in coming and getting your hands dirty in the life of ministry there. And we are so, so grateful to the Lord for that. We have a booklet outside in the foyer if you'd like to pick that up as well. It'll give you more information about our ministry, and we'd love for you to take one home and to read through that and pray through that and continue supporting us financially. But I want to take this opportunity to invite you to come. It's a long flight. It's a 20-hour flight to South Africa, but it's a flight that is well worth it. Come and get involved in the lives of the children and see firsthand what the Lord is doing through the ministry of Christ Church Christian Care Center. The center began 24 years ago, and it was situated in the inner city of Johannesburg, a suburb called Berea, which is very close to the notorious suburb of Hillbrow. And for 23 odd years, the center continued there, continued to be a beacon of hope and light shining for the Lord Jesus in Berea. And then my dad passed away in April 2021, and the Lord opened the doors for me to head up this ministry together with my wife Sarah. And then we decided that it was time to relocate the ministry, to move out of Berea, to move to a different environment, to move out of the noise and the chaos and the busyness, and to take children to a more agricultural area, where they can see a different kind of life and experience a different kind of life. And that's what we did. So in January 2023, we bought a property in Centurion, a wonderful property, a large property, and that's where we are right now. And the kids are so excited being there, having the open fields and the open airs and seeing cows and seeing horses and sheep and drinking milk that comes straight from the cow. It's a very, very different life for them, and they're really, really enjoying that. We have lots of plans, future plans set out for our ministry there, and they all are there in the booklet. You can read through them. But continue to pray for us, continue to support us, and most of all, come visit. I'd love to speak more to you after the service. So Sarah and I will be out there. So please do come along, and we'd love to chat with you a little bit more. Well, before we turn to God's word, come, let's pray. Our Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity you've given us to come, your people, together and to hear from your word. Our Father, we pray that your word, the good seed, may fall on good soil in our lives this morning, bearing much fruit, we pray. Help us, Lord, to pay close attention to the hearing of your word. In Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen. Friends, the title of my sermon this morning is Responding to the Need. In 1993, I was robbed and stabbed. And thankfully for me, this incident happened close to a residential area where I could go and ask for help. When I got to the first house, I was very pleased because I was greeted by a bright red sign on the door which read, Jesus Cares. Have you seen those signs before? Some of us have them as bumper stickers on our cars. Jesus Cares. And of course, my brother, my sister, Jesus does care. However, I soon found out that those living in that house did not care. They chased me away. And that was my experience at the next house as well. They did not care. By this time, an elderly Hindu lady saw me and saw my need, and she called me over. And she attended to my wound, and she offered me a new shirt. And whenever I remember this incident, I'm always reminded of the words of Jesus in Matthew 25, verse 40. The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me." Friends, the point of my story is that I never received help from those I expected to receive help from. I thought they were Christians, and I thought that Christians were supposed to help those who were in need. They had the sign on the door, Jesus Cares, but they themselves did not care. Instead, it was a Hindu lady from another faith who did not know Jesus at all, who had no relationship with the Lord Jesus, but she was the one who really cared. Now, brothers and sisters, my story is not unique, for there are many who have a similar story. In fact, Jesus in our passage reminds us of a certain man who had a similar story. And it'll be helpful if you've had your Bibles open to Luke chapter 10 from verse 25 onwards. And as we look at this passage, I want to draw your attention to three simple truths that you and I need to pay attention to. Three simple truths that you and I need to apply in our daily walk with the Lord. Well, firstly, I want you to notice verse 30. The need is real. Listen to what Jesus says there in verse 30 of Luke chapter 10. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead." Now the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was notorious for criminal activity, very much like many of the roads in South Africa. Now we are not told who this man was or why he was traveling from Jerusalem, but it is most likely that he was returning from temple worship or temple duty. And like everyone else, he traveled on this notorious road, and he was viciously attacked, and he was left for dead. And so, my brother, my sister, we can say that this man was a man who was in desperate need, like many, many people in our world today, men and women who are in desperate need. That's the world that we are living in. The need is very, very real all around the world, not just in South Africa, not just in Johannesburg or Centurion, but all around the world, the need is very, very real. In South Africa, you'll remember, as I mentioned in that video, there are over 3 million orphans who are in need. 3 million young souls who are crying out for help, who are living a life of desperation, who are saying to those who follow the Lord Jesus, "I need help. Can you help me?" That's the reality, my brother, my sister. The need is real. COVID-19 recently swept across the world, a global pandemic, and every single person on the face of the earth experienced a COVID-19 in one way or the other. And in COVID-19, we saw the reality of the need in our world. Today, millions are left unemployed because of COVID-19. Today, families are dependent on a government grant just to survive. In South Africa, we have many, many children who come from child-headed families because they have no parents anymore. And they need to decide between education or look for a spot on the street somewhere at the traffic light where they could put out a begging bowl and get some money to sustain themselves. The need, my brother, my sister, is real. I recently visited a care center in one of our other cities where I was taken to the front door and a baby box was placed in the main door of this care center. It was a box placed there for any mom or dad who wanted to abandon their little baby, and instead of throwing their baby into the garbage dump, they could bring that baby and put them in this box, and that care center would take care of that baby. The need, my brother, my sister, is real. It was real for this man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. I wonder if it's real for you this morning, for those who are watching this church service online. Is that need real for you? Maybe you know someone, a family member, a friend who has a genuine, real need. And so, as in the days of Jesus, this need, the reality of this need demands It demands from you and I as Christians that we make a response. We have to respond to that need. Each one of us is called to make a response. And so that brings me to my second point, verse 31. Responding to the need. Have a look there in verse 31. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. My brother, my sister, we all are called to make a response. Notice that there are two responses made in this parable. All three see the man. The priest sees the man beaten up and lying on the road. The Levite sees the man beaten up and lying on the road. The Samaritan sees the same man beaten up and lying on the road. But they make two different responses. The first response is made by the priest and the Levite, and it's a response which shows a lack of concern. There was a lack of concern. For the beaten up man, as he lifted up his head just a little bit and saw the priest coming his way, he would have said to himself, well, there is hope. Here is a man of God who is coming my way. He will certainly help me in my moment of need. But we are told that the priest, when he saw the man, walked on the other side. For the beaten up man, when he saw the Levite coming, he would have said to himself, well, this is a great opportunity for help. Here is a Levite coming my way. He will definitely help me. And when the Levite saw the man, he walked on the other side. They both had a lack of concern. These religious leaders, who the man would have expected and thought would be the ones who would help him, were the very ones who walked on the other side. They pretended as if he was not there. They saw him, yes, but they pretended as if he was not there, and they said, well, maybe the person coming after me will do something about his need. He's not my responsibility. Someone after me will help him. And they left it to the next person. And how true that is in our world today, my brother, my sister. We see need, and sometimes we walk on the other side and we say, well, I'm too busy today. I can't get involved today. Someone behind me will attend to that person's need. And so the first response here by the priest and the Levite is a lack of concern. The second response is the response of the Samaritan. And it is a response of genuine concern. The Samaritan saw the man in need and did something about his need. Genuine concern, my brother, my sister, translates to action. We can't say, yes, I am concerned about you, but do nothing about that. Genuine concern translates into action. The Samaritan saw the man in need. He did something about his need, and he got involved in the life of this beaten up man. Someone once said that we should not pray for the need of another person if we are not willing to be the answer to that prayer. And how true. James amplifies this truth for us in James chapter 2, verse 14. James says, what good is it, brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, which is the reality for lots and lots of people around the world, brothers and sisters in Christ. If one of you or if one of us says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? We might as well not come to church. We might as well not read our Bible. We might as well not pray. What good is it, James says, if we say to them, well, go in peace, keep warm, and be well fed? In 1996, my dad and my mom moved up to Johannesburg. And the first thing they realized was the great need among men and women, the great need among children. And so the first thing they did at church was to start a soup kitchen, a Sunday lunchtime service, where the homeless men and women would come and children would come and have a meal and hear a short message from God's word. But that wasn't enough. Their hearts were burdened even more. And in July 2000, the care center was opened, a place where children could come and find refuge and where the needs of children could be attended to. And it is at this center that this church has been very, very involved in. Pastor Jim, as I said earlier on, has brought many a team to come and visit and to get involved in the lives of the children. But my dad saw the need and he responded positively to the need. And that's what we should be doing, my brothers and sisters. We need to respond positively to the need. And so the question we need to answer this morning as we reflect upon our own hearts, let's not worry too much about the person next to us, but reflect upon our own hearts before the Lord this morning. Do we have genuine concern for those who are in need? Family members, friends. It's wonderful to see that the church goes out once a month and helps those by giving meals. That's fantastic. And may the Lord continue to use that and bless that. But what about you and I as individuals? What is our response to those who may be in need? Well, the third and the last truth we learn from this passage is that we need to be merciful. We must be merciful. Have a look there at verse 33. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Be merciful. Now let me make 3 comments this morning about being merciful. First of all, we need to understand that being merciful requires courage. It requires courage. Bear in mind that this wounded man was a complete stranger. He was a complete stranger to the Samaritan. The Samaritan didn't know him. And worst of all, the man who was beaten up was a Jew. In the context of the passage, we come to understand that he was a Jew, and the Jew despised the Samaritan. This beaten up man would have least expected that a Samaritan, his enemy, would come to his assistance. It took courage for the Samaritan to do what he did. It was a notorious road. There could have been other robbers still hanging by. We don't know. It took courage from the Samaritan to do what he did. The Samaritan had to use his own expenses to care for this man. Courage, my brother, my sister, is what you and I as Christians need to exercise. Sometimes we may go into situations that requires us to be courageous. But courage needs to be accompanied by discernment. There are many, many people, at least in South Africa, that I know of, who may give an impression that they are in need, but they're actually not in need. And so we need to ask God to give us discernment. Lord, show me who is the one who is in genuine need. And when I identify that person, help me to be courageous as I show mercy to this person. Being merciful requires sacrifice. For the Samaritan, it was the sacrifice of comfort. He placed the man on his own donkey, meaning that he had to walk. It was his donkey. He was riding his donkey on this road. But to help the beaten up man, he steps off his donkey, his comfort, and he places the beaten up man on that place of comfort. Sacrifice. He had to sacrifice his resources, his food, his money. Maybe that was all the food he had for himself, but he sacrificed it. Maybe those were the last few coins in his pocket that he gave to the innkeeper, but he made that sacrifice. Being merciful requires courage. Being merciful requires sacrifice. Someone once said that caring comes at a high cost. Caring comes at a high cost. But it is more costly not to care. More costly not to care. Being merciful requires humility. There was no news media on this road between Jerusalem and Jericho. When the Samaritan got off his donkey, CNN didn't come there. Fox News was not there. The BBC was not there. The Samaritan didn't look around to see, well, who's watching me? Who's got a camera? Who's there to witness this act of compassion? I want them to be able to see this so an article may be read about me. I may be in the news for my act of compassion, kindness. No. Being merciful requires humility. No public recognition was given to the Samaritan. We don't even know his name. Jesus doesn't tell us what his name is. But what he did is recorded for us in Scripture. The wounded man himself probably did not realize what the Samaritan had done, or who he was, or what his name was. Being merciful, my brother, my sister, requires humility. And so, the need is real. We have to make a response to that need. Either we demonstrate a lack of concern and it doesn't move our heart, or we demonstrate genuine concern and our heart is moved, and we get our hands dirty in the lives of those who are in need. Being courageous requires us being merciful. So how does this apply to you and I this morning, living in a world that is marked by poverty and injustice? Well, I believe that the command Jesus gives to this lawyer is still the same command that he gives to you and I as well. And Jesus says to this lawyer in verse 36, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Go and show mercy. And this must have been very, very difficult for the lawyer and for those listening, because they could not deny the truth that it was an enemy of the man who helped him. And Jesus says, well, go and do likewise. And as Christians, my brother, my sister, we are commanded by the Lord Jesus to to help all who are in genuine need, beginning first with the family of God, but extending that even to our enemies, those who despise us, to be courageous, to be sacrificial, to be humble. Go and do likewise. However, our helping, our showing of mercy, our compassion needs to be driven by the correct motive. You see, that Hindu lady who helped me, her motive was just to help me and to show to her gods that, well, this is what I'm doing. For there are many, many in the world today, many non-Christians in our world today who are very involved in social action, and they reach out to people in need. But they're doing it with the wrong motive. They're doing it with the wrong heart. They are doing it more to win points with God. God, look at me. See what I'm doing. Remember these acts of mercy and credit them to me so that when I stand before you, my good works will outweigh my bad works. And so, my brother, my sister, we need to do good with the right motive. Our heart needs to be in the right place. Why is it that we do good? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, verse 9 reminds us that we are saved by grace, but we are saved to do good. To do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Why do we do what we do at the care center? Why do you do what you do? Why does Hope Community Church do what they do and get involved in the life, the ministry of the care center? Because that is the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. We need to do good in the world so that people may see our good deeds, Jesus said, and glorify our Father in heaven. And friends, as I close this morning, this man had a great physical need, and his need was met by the Samaritan. There are many people in our world today who have physical needs, even here in Santa Barbara. My wife and I didn't think that there was homeless people in Santa Barbara until we were sitting out in one of the shopping centers and saw homeless people for the first time. It's a reality. There is a need. The need needs to be met. But friends, in the context of this story, the lawyer who asked Jesus the question wanted to justify himself. But his actual question was not about meeting a physical need. His actual question, you'll see there in verse 25, was, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That's the greater need, my brother, my sister. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And that's the greatest need that humanity has. Not for bread and milk, although that need must be met by you and I as Christians, but there is a far greater need than that. It's a spiritual need, the need of the soul. I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven my sins. I need the certainty of salvation. What must I do to inherit eternal life? There are many in our world asking that question today. Maybe there's someone here this morning asking the very same question in their own hearts. Maybe as you watch this video, you may be asking the very same question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gives the man this answer. For the man said, and Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. My brother, my sister, that spiritual need can only be met by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who gave his life as an atoning sacrifice for you and I, so that our sins may be forgiven, so that God will not hold our sin against us. Jesus is the answer. Jesus meets that great spiritual need that mankind has. So this morning we take away two things. We need to reach out and to meet the felt needs of people. And thank you so much for your involvement in Christchurch Christian Care Center. I trust that you'll continue to do that. But then we also need to meet the needs of those who do not know Jesus. My dad always said to me, you know what we do at our church, at Christchurch Hillbrow at that time, is we want to meet both the needs. We want to give them something to eat, but we want to share the gospel with them as well. So we take a sandwich and we wrap it up in a gospel tract, so that when they take the sandwich and the tract after eating the sandwich, they can read. They can read the gospel message. And that is what it's all about, my brother, my sister. And may the Lord help us to continue doing that as faithfully as we can. The Lord bless.